Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Find out about new shows, featured guests, and what's up this week. Find us on Facebook by searching keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
No, he didn't slam you, he didn't bump you, he didn't nudge you, he rubbed you. And rubbing, son, is racing.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
This is Pit Pass USA, the fastest auto racing location on the internet, with the latest news, the best interviews, and our own brand of commentary. Here's your host, Larry Henry.
Hi again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Pit Pass USA. I'm Larry Henry. Glad to have you with us. Hopefully you had a great weekend last weekend. Last Friday wound up going down to Norwalk, Ohio. It's a little over a two-hour drive from where I reside in the Detroit area for NHRA Full Throttle drag racing action. Unfortunately, Friday, Mother Nature decided to rain most of the day, so I left a little early, returning back to the Detroit area. Stopped in Toledo, Ohio, which is about halfway, because gas was like $3.20 a gallon. Had to put some of that in my car. And then I heard the interstate was closed, so what did I do? Toledo Speedway was on the other side of the road. I took in a little short track local racing for a while, which was kind of neat. So it was kind of a fun weekend. Now I'm getting ready to go to Daytona this weekend of both the NASCAR Sprint Cup and Nationwide Series there, and we will talk about that more in a short while. Also tonight, the American Le Mans Series, 1 week away from getting back into action after being off since Long Beach because of the 24-hour Le Mans. We'll talk to John Bennett, who is a team owner and a driver with Cora Autosport. That is his team. They run two cars in the LMP Challenge category. We will check in with Bill Bader Jr. He's the man that actually operates Summit Motorsports Park in Norwalk, Ohio, about the family-run operation and their $1 for a pound of ice cream deal. You got to have Expando slacks when you're there. And we'll also check in with Lewis Frank, who writes for Reuters and ESPN the magazine, about Formula One, NASCAR, and IndyCar. Well, this weekend, both the NASCAR Sprint Cup and Nationwide Series are in Daytona, and it was just a few months ago when this young man shocked the world. I don't think there was a person that was not standing on their feet at Daytona, watching on TV, listening on radio. They might have been on their feet in the space station. As Trevor Bayne held off the field to win the Daytona 500 as a rookie for the Wood Brothers, and he joins me now. Trevor, has any of the excitement worn off yet? I mean, it's been about 5 months. I'm still sure you're kind of geeked after that win.
No, it's still awesome, man. And I've got stacks of pictures and flags and autograph requests and everything in my house to remind me of it every day. So, it's a really cool deal, and I think it'll take a long time for that excitement to wear completely off. But, you know, we've had a lot of other stuff happening in the season that slowed us down a little bit on that excitement train. But, you know, it's been a good year so far, and we're looking forward to going back to Daytona here this week.
Has it sunk in what you did yet? I know talking to you the morning after you won, I was there doing a Q&A session with some of the fans and what used to be the Daytona experience with you, and I'm sure it didn't. But now that you've had a little time to reflect that for the rest of your life, you're going to be called a Daytona 500 champion. Has that really, what that means, sunk into you?
I think it started to. You know, I mean, every time a fan comes up even 5 months down the road right now, they still say, man, that was awesome. You know, congratulations on the Daytona 500. And normally after you win a race, you know, a couple months later, everybody kind of, you know, backs off and they don't really say much about it. But this one's lasted 6 months already. So, you know, I think this is going to be something that's around for a long time to stay.
Now, you talked about a lot has happened since Daytona, and obviously the mysterious illness that put you in the Mayo Clinic. That had to be the scariest moment of your life. Here you are, you're just cruising along, you get what you think is an insect bite, and suddenly you're in the hospital, and the Mayo Clinic can't tell you what's wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's kind of scary when you don't know, but then again, you know, I don't really have to know as long as I'm getting better, and I am. So, you know, for me, it's like at this point, it's like, well, we'll just keep digging, and hopefully it doesn't come back, you know?
How much did, I'm sure it did, set you back in your progression? You were going to run Charlotte in the Wood Brothers car. You didn't get a chance to do that. The last time that you were in the Wood Brothers car was Talladega before you were at Michigan a little over a week ago. I'm sure it set back your learning curve this year, and you're not where you want to be because of that illness.
Well, the biggest thing is it took us out of the points championship in the Nationwide Series. You know, we really wanted to run for that championship this year, and now we're too far back to be in contention. So that's kind of the biggest disappointment to me. As far as the cup races go, yeah, I want to run every time I can, but really I only missed two races. So that's not as big of a deal to me as it is missing five Nationwide races and being out of the points championship. But then again, you know, we missed the All-Star race, and that was a big deal to me, too, to be able to be in that and have a sponsor for it, and we were going to race it. So both of those are kind of the downside to it, you know. But the good side is I learned a lot. You know, while I was out sick, I got to watch a lot of races. I learned some. And I've got a new appreciation for what I get to do every weekend. You know, not everybody in the country gets to go drive race cars and be as fortunate as I am. And I definitely have a new appreciation for that.
As you mentioned earlier, this weekend it is Daytona, back for the 4th of July weekend, the Coke Zero 400, a completely different animal from what we saw in February. It's going to be hot. It looks like the temperature's in the 90, going to be running at night. It's going to be slick. It's a shorter race. And you don't have your car. It's sitting in the museum outside the track. So what do you look for this weekend? What's your game plan? And on top of it, you got to qualify on speed.
Well, first I'm going to dress up like a ninja and go steal my car out of the museum and get it ready to go again. But no, I'm just kidding. But we do have a car that's just as good as the car we had there last year. So I'm last race. So I'm really excited about that. And the wind tunnel was very similar. So I think we're going to have a good piece there in Cup. And my Nationwide car, they tell me, is better. So I'm excited about that race as well. So, you know, I just got to go in there with the same mindset that I had before. Just go in there to make all the laps and be around at the end, and then we'll have a shot to win it again, hopefully.
How much different, though, is it as you prepare for Daytona this time? One, you're not going to sneak up on anybody. Secondly, there's going to be a lot of people that want you to push them for a while. Come Saturday night. So how different is it going to be for you in preparation and what you do?
Well, the expectations are different, like you said, and that's the hardest part, is keeping it in check and not going there thinking, man, I got to win this thing and driving too hard and get myself in trouble and then a crash. I've got to go there, like I said, with that same mindset of just make all the laps, and that's going to be important to do and keep myself in check. And then also it's better this time because I have drivers wanting to work with me now. You know, I've had a few cup drivers text me and say, hey, man, can I put you in the radio? And last time I was sitting on the road for 30 minutes waiting on somebody to come work with me. So it's a little bit different this time around, and I think it's for the better.
And you talked about the expectations. Everyone is going to be sitting there going, can Trevor Bayne do it again? He had such a great car with the Wood Brothers. And you know every person in the media is going to be asking that question. Every fan that has you sign an autograph is going to be asking you that question. How do you keep yourself grounded this weekend, because this is going to be the most intense weekend? You thought the weekend after Daytona was bad. This is really going to be something.
Yeah, I think, you know, I just have to take that and not make it any added pressure. You know, a lot of people are going to be expecting me or asking me if I can back it up. And yes, we can. I think we definitely have the ability to do it. We have the cars to do it. We've done it before, so we've proven that. But we just can't let that get to us. We have to stay on our game plan, not get ahead of ourselves, like I said, not get into trouble. And if we're around at the end, we'll have that chance. So it's going to be hard to hold myself back and think that way. You know, it's going to be easy to get out there and say, all right, I got to lead every lap. I got to go prove that I can do this again. But I can't do that. If I do, I'll end up in trouble. So I just keep remembering that and just, you know, keep my pace and have a game plan and stick to it.
How much have your PR people actually put together a schedule to try to keep things under control? Because I'm sure NASCAR wants you here. Daytona International Speedway wants you here. Motorcraft Quick Lane wants you here. And you've got two races to prepare for. You've got a lot of track time and jumping back and forth between cars. Have you put together, along with your people, your game plan for the weekend on that side so you're not distracted?
Yeah, they'll pretty much have that to me by the end of the day or tomorrow. But we are going down early to kind of get some of that out of the way. We're going down. We'll be there all day tomorrow doing media stuff, hanging out at the track. And, you know, hopefully that'll kind of clear it up for me for race days. Thursday I'll be a little bit busy again. But I'm hoping by Friday and Saturday it'll kind of clear out where I can just focus on driving a race car.
How much fun is it going back to Daytona now? Having had the experience, you not only ran, of course, at Daytona back in February, but you also ran at Talladega, so you've got a couple of these restrictor plate races under your belt. Is that going to help you going back this time?
Yeah, I mean, every bit of experience you can get, no matter what kind of racing it is going to help you. So I'm pretty confident in being able to draft now. I think I know what I'm doing, and I think most of the other guys do too. And now we've got confidence from the other drivers that we can do it, so they're willing to work with us. So that experience was crucial, and I think it's going to pay off a lot going to Daytona here this time.
What's it been like for you from the fans? And we talked about this a little bit earlier, because you seem to be that breath of fresh air. I remember you were here in the Detroit area at the Henry Ford Museum a couple of months ago. You were sitting at Sweepstakes, which was the original car that Henry Ford raced. That actually he won his only race, and it got the money to start Ford Motor Company. And doing things like that and being around the fans, that you seem to be that breath of fresh air that maybe NASCAR needed. Do you feel like that you have... I don't want to say a duty to kind of help promote the sport now, the situation you're in, even though you're a very young man and a rookie in the Sprint Cup Series?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that we have to cover, you know, my age group, and that's one place I think NASCAR's been struggling in a little bit, was my demographic. So I think it's great to be able to be that kind of face for the young crowd that needs to see that NASCAR is actually cool. You know, I think my age group's kind of lost that wow factor of the race cars, and you know, I think it's because, you know, we talk about safer barriers, we talk about all these things, and they don't see the action in the sport anymore. But I just hope that, you know, I can show them that, hey, this is a cool sport and it's fun and it's, you know, something that I love to do, and I love to do it because it's, you know, I mean, heart rate's 160 on racing inch. It's not just riding around in circles getting dizzy like a lot of people think. So you know, I hope I can draw that crowd in and that they'll see how awesome the racing is and get interested in it.
Yeah, hopefully that will happen, too. I know a lot of the young people, you brought them back in with that win at Daytona and all the coverage that you got. Finally, the game plan this weekend. I know you sit down probably with Eddie Wood and that side and your crew chief and everyone else. Do you have a set game plan? One, do you do anything special to qualify, since you've got to qualify on time? Although you would have gotten in on time back for the Daytona 500. You didn't have to qualify your way in because you were quick. But it's a different time and different temperatures when you're qualifying.
Around with it being an impound race, we can't make some of the changes that we made before to help us qualify. So our cars are definitely going to be probably not as good as they were at the Daytona 500 for that qualifying session, but I'm expecting that we'll be really fast anyways. And, you know, I think that we'll definitely be able to make it in easily. At least I hope so. You know, they told me that the car's really good, and I trust that. So I'm not really that worried about it, but you know, anything can happen, so I'll definitely be hoping for a good run and qualify.
Well, we look for you both in the Nationwide Series and, of course, in the Coke Zero 400 on Saturday night at Daytona. Trevor, best of luck, and maybe you'll get us all up on our feet again, coming to that checkered flag like you did in February. I got to be honest, I was up screaming and yelling.
I appreciate it, man. I hope so, too. That'd be pretty awesome.
Have a safe trip to Daytona, and we'll see you on the racetrack.
All right, sounds good. Thank you, sir.
Trevor Bayne, we'll see what he can do this weekend. Going to be a lot of pressure on the young man, and you know, the media is going to be after him, the fans are going to be after him, and he has to focus on racing. Can he repeat? Possibly. Who knows? It's really a Daytona. It's not whether you have the best car, it's where you are, what position. Obviously, he had a solid car back at the Daytona 500, and circumstances worked out exactly right for him, and David Ragan blowing that one restart when he jumped it and dropped down out of his lane early. But we're hoping for the very best for Trevor this coming weekend in both the Nationwide and the Cup. And if he could win again, boy, what a shot in the arm again that would be for NASCAR. Next up, we're going to turn our attention to the America Le Mans Series. We'll talk to John Bennett, a team owner and driver in the LMP Challenge category, when we return to Pit Pass USA, part of the Pirate Motorsports Series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Have we got a high-energy, all-access sports show for you? It's Outside the Huddle, starring LeMond Williams. Each week, join LeMond as he takes callers, discusses the week's top stories in the world of sports, and sits down with active and former players to discuss their transition from sports to business. Outside the Huddle is a great resource for players making career transitions both on and off the field. Tune in Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, and 5 Pacific for Outside the Huddle on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Do you think that all of the generic financial information you get every day is hard to navigate? You need to tune in to Duffy's Financial Playbook. Every weekend, Andreas Duffy will help you filter out this information and turn it into wisdom that you can really use. Be informed about the financial decisions you're about to make instead of just blindly making decisions. Andre's connections in the business and professional sports world will help you so you don't need to worry about your financial success. Tune in to Duffy's Financial Playbook, Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Sports.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. That goes O'Neill. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
It's been quite a while for the American Le Mans Series to be on track. In fact, it goes back to early April at Long Beach. But next week, they'll head to Lime Rock and really get busy with 7 races in 13 weeks. And as we do, one of the team owners and team drivers with the LMP Challenge classification joining me now, and that is John Bennett with Cora Autosport. John, welcome.
Larry, thank you very much. Always happy to talk about our team and the LMS series, and happy to be here.
I actually saw your team, you don't know this, back at the beginning of February between the Rolex 24 and Speedweeks at Daytona. I had several days off, so I drove to Sebring down to see the Robertsons, who live here in the state of Michigan where I'm from, and I looked down at pit out, and there was Cora Autosport, your team, doing testing, and I know you've been doing testing during this off period, I believe, at Road America in Mid-Ohio.
We changed categories last year. We were in a support series called IMSA Lights last year, and in the fall we purchased two LMDC cars, and while we're not new to racing, we are a little bit new to this category, and so, yeah, I mean, testing is part of helping our team get up to speed. So we tested, prior to Sebring, we tested twice, and then we've had a long break between Long Beach and our upcoming race at Lime Rock, so took that opportunity to go out west to Road America and do a little bit more testing. So try and do our homework, trying to show up prepared with pencil and paper when the race events come, and have a setup that we understand and that we hope will be fast on race day. So it's about putting in the effort, and so we're doing our best there.
Well, you had to be fairly happy, didn't you, with your result at Sebring? I mean, you were on the podium first time out in the series in that classification.
Quite honestly, my personal goal for the team was to have two healthy cars running at the end of the race, and to actually put two cars in the podium at Sebring was a little breathtaking for me, and it was a great payback for the team in terms of all the work that they did. We're a new team, so there's a lot of things related to a new team, like getting transporters, fitted with the proper livery and crew shirts and all the infrastructure that we had to build, plus get ready for, our team's longest race in our history, which was the 12 hours at Sebring, and to be able to, A, competitive, and B, put two cars on the podium was just, it was breathtaking for me, and I'm glad that all the hard work got repaid. In racing can be kind of hard-edged. You can put in a lot of work and not be rewarded at all, and that's just the nature of our sport. But I was really happy for the guys that they could see that all their hard work, resulted in two podiums, and then to go on to Long Beach to my sister car, with Gunnar Jeanette and Ricardo Gonzalez, to put the car on the top podium, top step of the podium was also very rewarding. So, our challenge going forward is to continue that kind of, the bar has been raised pretty high for us, to continue that level of performance as we get into the real heart of the racing season, which starts at Lime Rock and continues all the way to October at Petite at Atlanta. So, we'll see. Racing is it is what it is, and we plan to come prepared, and hopefully we'll get a little bit of good luck.
Well, one of the things you've done is you've got a great engineering staff. You had Burke Harrison on board, and he has been involved with Paul Tracy. And I know Paul from his Indy Lights and from IndyCar because I used to be involved with CART for many years. And then you've just picked up another veteran, Tom Brown, who I knew when he was with Roger Penske, him and Emerson Fittipaldi and Al Unser Jr. And all. So you've got two great, stellar engineers with your squad.
Yeah, it's, again, you know, being a new team owner and not new to working, you know, with a team. And I own a manufacturing company, and so I've had experience working with others, as you might imagine, and understanding the power of a team in terms of my manufacturing company. I mean, we've been in business since 1995, and we've gone through, you know, different levels. I started in my garage, and now we're up to 150 people, and 110,000 square feet of floor space. So the organization has grown. But the one thing that I've learned is just the power of a well put together team. And our team manager here, Morgan Brady, has got a lot of interesting contacts, and it's been a little breathtaking with the quality of personnel that is willing to come to our team and help us grow. You know, Burke was an incredible addition to our team. Lots of Formula One experience, lots of contacts in the business, and lots of engineering prowess. I mean, it really helped get our cars up to speed early, as it showed at Sebring. And then recently, the addition of Tom Brown with his experience with, as you mentioned, you know, all these incredible drivers and working for teams such as Roger Penske's IndyCar team. And all of the real race car knowledge. He has a lot of race car design background. And you know, we're learning a lot from him. I think for him, it's a chance to come to a team with not a lot of culture, where he can actually kind of shape it, shape that culture, shape the engineering culture here for us. And what's better than having someone, you know, that used to be with Roger Penske shaping our engineering background? So it's sometimes I'm out of words. It's just a really amazing, and it also gives us the room to grow, so that we can start considering additional categories like LMP2 or potentially going to Le Mans with our team. We have the people there. They're ready to do it. So we're building. Sometimes it's hard to know exactly where we're headed, but we know the direction we're headed, and that's the bigger and better thing. It's been great. It's been great to see the team come together.
Time with John Bennett here on Pit Pass USA, who is not only the owner, but he is a driver with Cor Auto Sport. They run in the LMP Challenge category in the America Le Mans Series. And let's talk a little bit about some of the drivers. Ricardo Gonzalez, you've got with you, Frankie Montecalvo, and you mentioned Gunnar Jeanette being with you. Very good core there. I know Frankie is still learning his way a little bit. Gunnar is a guy that's been around racing for quite a while. It's a nice mix.
We're very fortunate to have the mix of drivers that we have. We have some real veterans like Gunnar Jeanette, obviously. And then, you know, some of our other drivers, Ricardo Gonzalez, incredible background in terms of experience. And I guess as a team owner, more importantly, you know, these our drivers, they're very, very fast, but they are very, very respectful of the equipment. So we've been able to do a lot of testing and do a lot of really good, fast work in the cars without very much damage, which is a plus both for the team financially and also in terms of our workload. You know, we get to spend more time on making the cars faster as opposed to spending more time putting cars back together. So we have a great combination of speed and respect for the equipment. Frankie, who is my co-driver, we actually spent last season nose to tail in the IMSA Lights category. So I know Frankie a little bit better as a competitor. And he did a good job of keeping me honest, and I think I did the same for him. So it's kind of a unique opportunity for us to join forces in our entry. Kind of the new drivers of Cor Auto Sport in terms of our experience, but we're learning from Gunnar and Ricardo and obviously from our engineering staff. And I think you'll see our car be quite competitive as the season progresses on towards the last races of the season. So it's a very bright outlook, and we have two kind of different teams. We have a, you know, a sort of a veteran entry, and then we have an entry of guys you know, learning as we go.
Johnny, is your best competition, your toughest competition, Genoa Racing in the LMP Challenge category?
I would say so. You know, Tom Knapp and his company have done a great job in terms of entering a very reliable car and also, securing very, very quick drivers. Obviously, Dean Cameron did a great job for them at Sebring. Maybe just a little bit too good. Otherwise, we might have had a chance to win that race. I think we were just maybe 20 or 30 seconds short of the victory. So, all the teams in LMBC, I think, have the ability to win races and are a threat. You know, our job is basically to do our jobs and show up with a reliable entry and well-rested and ready-to-go drivers and run the race. I mean, there's a lot that can happen. There's a lot that can happen in a two-hour race, and there's a lot that can happen in a 10-hour race. So it's about being there and being confident in your preparation. I think that goes a lot. You know, the drivers can sense it. The team can sense it. And when you're properly prepared, I think the weekends go a little smoother.
Very quickly, the challenge coming up at Lime Rock. Small racetrack, short racetrack. It's going to be a very busy racetrack.
Well, I grew up in Connecticut, so I spent a lot of time looking through the fence at the early days of IMSA and, you know, drivers like John Paul Jr. and the Porsche 935, and to be able to come back there with our own team, you know, personally for me is quite satisfying. I hope that one day it would happen, and it has. So that part of coming to Lime Rock for me is very personally satisfying. And then secondly, talking about, you know, the competition itself, compared to some of the other tracks we go to, like Road America, Lime Rock is it's a short track. It's kind of our Bristol. There's lots of cars in a small, confined space. There's a couple of tight chicanes, and the object of the game is to be fast, but also be very careful and be respectful of the other entries, whether they're LMP1 car behind or a GTC Porsche in front. You have to know when to pick your battles and when to be defensive. And so I think that's one of the keys to doing well at Lime Rock is knowing when it's okay to be aggressive and when it's important to be defensive. And you could take a risk that could benefit you a couple tenths of a second, but it can also cost you 60 seconds, or it could cost you the rest of the race. So you have to just be careful. And no road rage. You need to be patient in traffic.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting back in action next week. Best of luck, and we will see you at Lime Rock.
Great. Well, I sure appreciate the opportunity, Larry, to speak about our team, and look forward to seeing you on the podium at the end of the race at Lime Rock.
John Bennett, team owner and driver for Core Autosport LMP Challenge in the American Le Mans Series. Next up, going to talk a little NHRA with the guy that promotes the NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Series at Summit Motorsports Park in Norwalk, Ohio, Bill Bader Jr., when we return to Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Up Motorsports Series at VoiceAmericaSports.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Tune in every Monday after the busy sports weekend to Catch the Vision Sports Radio with host Thomas Lewis. We'll look at sports from every level, from what happened years ago to what happened last week to what's coming next. Thomas Lewis will take you to places you've never been before on a sports talk show and will bring an experience you've been waiting for. Our topics will focus on realities facing a player, labor disputes, academics, recruiting, and transition. Tune in to Catch the Vision Sports Radio, Mondays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
This Is It Sports is an engaging talk program that includes you, the experts, and sports, all moderated by Coach Carl Hargrave. We'll talk about what's going on in the general sports world, collegiate and professional, take a look at youth-oriented sports, athletic development and sportsmanship, faith, and where it has its place in sports, along with a lively discussion with Coach Carl every week. Tune in to This Is It Sports with Coach Carl Hargrave every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Take us on the go. It's even easier now. The Voice America Talk Radio Network has launched our mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market to download the app powered by Aircast. It's free and no registration is necessary. In minutes, you could be enjoying your favorite Voice America Talk Radio host, no matter where you are. In the car, out and about, while traveling, or anytime you can't be close to your computer. Catch up on the archives you've missed or discover new shows on the spot. Search Voice America at your favorite app store.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
A lot of times when you think of racing and racing facilities, you think of big cities. Maybe it's Chicago, maybe it's Indianapolis, maybe it's Dallas, maybe it's Houston. A lot of places like that, but how about Norwalk, Ohio? That's where an NHRA drag strip is, and that is the Summit Motorsports Park. And joining me now is the man who runs it, is Bill Bader Jr. Bill, wonderful facility, beautiful area, in a small town.
Yes, it is. It is. People think of Norwalk, Ohio as a very small town, and it is. It's a population of about 11,000 people, but we sit in a beautiful location. Do you know that 78% of the population of the United States is within an 8 hours drive of Norwalk, Ohio, and within a 60-mile radius, there's close to 5 million people. So you're right. Norwalk, Ohio is pretty small, but Cleveland, Toledo, Columbus, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Detroit, it's all real close.
I can speak about Detroit. I live in West Bloomfield. It's a little over a two-hour drive, which I made today to come down here. But let's talk about this facility. It started with your dad, I think, at the end of the 1973 season, and there wasn't much here.
No, the track was actually built and opened in 1963. A local well-to-do banker bought it and built it in hopes that his son would latch hold or gravitate to something. Didn't really work out. The track was closed. My father bought the then Norwalk Dragway, having never seen a drag race, having never stepped foot on a drag strip until the day he bought it. He had very user-friendly terms upon which he purchased the property, and he went about in the spring of 1974 learning about drag racing.
That had to be a tough experience. If you've never been to a drag race, didn't know about the sport, and to build a facility, and I understand first he went to NHRA, they said, nope. Yep. IHRA said, okay, we will, if, and you have to do this, this, and this, and of course he borrowed every dime that he could get to go do something that he really didn't have a clue about.
Well, you know, and it's funny because maybe that was a perceived disadvantage at the time, but I think it was an advantage because it caused us to maybe look at it differently. We focused on what my father always called creature comfort features. We focused on the guest experience. We focused on customer service. We focused on beautification and making the park nice and pleasant and friendly and clean. And so we focused on all those things, and clearly it's worked out well, at least so far. But I think clearly the learning curve was pretty steep. This is a bit of a complicated sport to understand, and understanding rollout and understanding lane choice and understanding all of the little nuances. From some of the stories I've heard, it was a very interesting first couple of years.
How much preparation do you have to do before NHRA shows up for the race event like this weekend?
Literally, we will settle up on Monday after the race. Within 7 days, we will have a meeting of all of our management team and all of our directors. Within 14 days, we'll have a marketing meeting, and we will literally start working on next year's race. So I would say that we spend a year, literally from Monday or Tuesday after the race, right up until move-in the following year. So literally, we spend all year on this event. And we'll have this weekend about 400. Last year we had 428 people working this event. And my goal is always to be obviously operationally strong and excel in all facets of operation, making sure the fans' experience is a good one, making sure the track is ready. And really my piece is more of the marketing, selling tickets, the media strategies, that kind of thing. But we work all year on this event.
How much do you have to prepare the race surface itself? I know the safety safari guys get here and do a whale of a job preparing things, but I'm sure there's some things you've got to do to prepare, don't you?
We do. Obviously, we open the middle of April, so we make sure that the track is had some runtime on it. We make sure that the track is properly scraped. We make sure that the track is clean. And literally, Monday morning at 8 a.m., we kind of turn the keys over to NHRA. And I will say that in our 5 years, each year we've seen them get better and better and better. Not that they were ever bad. But clearly they come in and they prepare an amazing racetrack. I mean, they really do.
How big is this facility? When I came down 601, which was on the backside of the racetrack here, all I saw were all of these trucks, all these haulers from the race teams that are here. They just go on and on and on and on and on and on. And then there's campers and parking lots. And while we're doing this interview, it's been raining. I've seen fans in the stands sitting there in the rain. How big a place is this?
We're about 275 acres, and I would certainly if we had another couple hundred, I would certainly love to have them. The neat thing about Summit Motorsports Park is that there's no dead area, meaning, we have 250, but only 200 usable. Because the original parcel of ground that my father purchased was actually 100 acres, and it's the corner of Route 18, Route 601, and it's kind of a rectangle shape. The track's 4,000 feet long. So that original 100 acres to host a national event, an IHRA national event all those years ago, was pretty small. So we learned how to utilize every square inch. We learned how to make it easy to flow. We put the grandstands close to enhance the fans' experience. So we utilize every square inch of our facility, and the event's growing. I mean, we're happy to report that despite poor economy and economic downturns, this event continues to grow, and that's a testimony to the product, that's a testimony to the facility, and to the fans, because they absolutely love NHRA drag racing in this part of the country.
We're talking with Bill Bader Jr., who heads up Summit Motorsports Park in Norwalk, Ohio, where the NHRA runs, and you talked about the track open in April. There's more to this facility than NHRA. It's the local people that come out here on Friday or Saturday night, I'm not sure which night you do, and go down the drag strip, and a lot of local racing goes on.
There is. We open the middle of April. We have test and tune programs that we run every Friday from April through October. We have an amateur night on Wednesday night that starts the first Wednesday in May and goes through the last Wednesday in September. We have a hugely successful points program for sportsman racers called the Mr. Gasket Super Series. That's a 15-race series that is contested on select Saturdays beginning in April and running through the latter part of September. We run a host of events, from brand events to youth marketing events. Our signature event is 34 years old this year. That's the Night Under Fire, and that'll be August 13th. So we have these two monsters, the Summit Racing Equipment NHRA Nationals, the Night Under Fire. And then, you know, we continue to grow our other properties. The Cavalcade of Stars in May. We have a giant street rod show the middle part of July called the Blue Suede Cruise. And then, of course, the largest sportsman drag race in the world, the Halloween Classic, the end of October. We have right around 100 events scheduled in what I consider to be a pretty narrow window, which is the middle of April through the end of October. Typically, any other time, there's a good possibility there's snow on the ground. So we have about 6.5 months or 7 months to do what we need to do.
Night Under Fire, you got to explain that. What is that?
That is legitimately the largest single-day drag race in the world. We've had 40,000 fans attend Night Under Fire, and it is a spectacle unlike anything else in drag racing. You don't need to be a drag racing fan to enjoy Night Under Fire. It starts with a neatly, tightly packaged pre-race that has lots of pageantry, lots of presentation. It has some very poignant moments. It's a patriotic red, white, and blue event that was historically on this weekend, and we had to move it to accommodate the NHRA. So we've got pre-race pageantry. We've got this year we have 4 fuel funny cars, including John Force. We have 8 historic funny cars. I mean, the original War Eagle, the Blue Max, the Candies and Hughes car, the Jungle Jim car. It will be spectacular, I think, to see those 8 historic cars running. You know, Beetle will be here, Poldy will be here, Caps will be here. So that's neat. We run 4 jets. We run Bob Motz's jet Kenworth. He burns down this monster sign here over your right shoulder. We do a legitimately pretty healthy 6-figure fireworks show choreographed to music. And it is it is a tremendous event. It's a lot of fun.
Sounds like it. And the one thing here at Summer Motorsports Park, ice cream. Talk about that. This is the biggest deal I've ever seen anywhere.
Well, you know, it's funny. We completed a $7.2 million expansion that was substantially completed in May of 2007, And it just so happened that that weekend we were going to host our first Lucas Oil race, the Cavalcade of Stars. We had spent $7.2 million. The gates fly open. I'm literally out in the rain parking alcohol cars. And one of the guys comes up to me, and I'm thinking, okay, he's going to comment on the facility. He's going to comment on the $7.2 million. And he says to me, hey, buddy, when's the ice cream going to open? And I thought, well, heck, we didn't need to spend all that money. We could have just given ice cream away. But that actually started in the middle 80s. I have to ask my dad what year, but we have always been ice cream eaters. My father said, hey, let's do this ice cream thing. And so we put together the world-famous BB cone. It's a pound of homemade hand-dipped ice cream for a dollar. And it continues to be a dollar to this day. It continues to be a pound to this day. And we partner with Velvet. They are a family-owned and operated ice cream company in Utica. And their ice cream is fabulous. It has lots of calories, lots of sugar, lots of butter fat, all the good stuff that gives ice cream its taste. But, yeah, I mean, when you think of Summit Motorsports Park, the ice cream is always top of mind.
Absolutely. Everybody does it. I know people that have stood in line for an hour to get it, and hopefully everybody has expandable pants to get through it, as you mentioned, with all the calories. Well, Bill, congratulations on a wonderful facility. I know the fans love this. There's great racing here, and thanks for taking some time out of, I know, a very, very busy day to talk with me.
Well, you know, I appreciate it, and again, I apologize for being late. I was back in the campgrounds talking to some customers, so I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for the kind words, and this rain's going to stop, and we're going to have some tremendous racing ahead. Thank you.
Bill Bader Jr., who along with the rest of his family operates Summit Motorsports Park. That's in Norwalk, Ohio, where the NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Series was last weekend. Great programs. Dollar for a pound of ice cream. You cannot beat it. It's good. People stand an hour in line waiting for the ice cream. Anyway, thanks to him for the hospitality when I was down there last Friday. Next up, our good buddy Lewis Frank, who writes for Reuters and ESPN the magazine, to talk Formula One, NASCAR, and IndyCar. When we return to Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Motorsports Series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Do you love sports talk?
Can't get enough sports talk?
Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's Larry Henry at PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
Well, who better to talk about the entire world of racing than my next guest? He writes for Reuters, ESPN the magazine, good friend of mine I've known for a long time, Lewis Frank. Lewis, welcome.
Oh, it's always good to talk with you. We got a lot of good times together.
Yes, we did. You're back from Sonoma, of course, with NASCAR, which leads us to road racing. And why not we start this off kind of lightning round talking about so many different series. Formula One, Sebastian Vettel, again, a winner this time over in Spain. He's running away with the Formula One championship. Lewis Hamilton the other day kind of threw in the towel. Then a day later kind of changed his mind to, no, we're in this thing and we can still win this. What's your take on what's happening in Formula One right now?
Well, there's a lot of hot air, literally. You know, they've got a way to heat up the exhaust through the diffusers. I mean, they've got more technical stuff. I mean, it's amazing what's going on there. Well, it's really ironic, the war of words over there, because, Vettel's the one. I just can't believe that Lewis Hamilton would say it's over. I guess he got pressured to say, you know, it's not over. I was up not early enough for that F1 race, but I just think that Formula One's quite the circus these days. That and what else? I don't know what else I could tell you about Formula One. Let's move on.
Well, you know, one of the things is they seem to be changing the rules as they go along. They were changing some of the rules about engine mapping in Spain, where what you ran in qualifying you had to run in the race. I guess there's some more little tweaks in the rules that's coming at Silverstone.
Well, again, as I said, though, I mean, they've got a way of heating up the air running over the diffuser. First, it's illegal, then it's legal. That DRS system you can only use in certain parts. They're finding ways to really mess with that formula.
Absolutely, but the fans love it, and Sebastian Vettel's running away with it, of course, with Red Bull Racing, and that leads us to NASCAR. Red Bull, of course, a few days ago announcing that at the end of the year they're no longer going to be a team owner, and why would you be? It's much cheaper to be a sponsor, and NASCAR obviously not their demographic. Are they going to stay in NASCAR, or do you think they'll leave? Because, again, it's not their demographic.
There's a couple of different scenarios. One of them has them staying, helping out Jay Fry with some sponsorship if he manages to put together some other ownership deal. You know, it wasn't their demographics back in 2007, someone tweeted the other day. So, I mean, again, I didn't know why they got in, and so them getting out doesn't surprise me. And Larry, as someone who's been around racing a long time, knows that when a corporation comes in, as opposed to an owner, someone who's raced, like a Childress or a Roush, they come and they go after a while. The management changes, and they say, well, that was the previous management. I have to believe that although part of it was performance-driven, whereas they had one win in 5 years, where, again, we just finished talking about Vettel and his championships, I think it's a change of management style is really what happened. You saw it in the 70s with Citicorp in Formula One and in USAC and CART, and then you saw James Dunn and Beatrice. You know, he was the chairman of the board of Beatrice, who brought them into IndyCar and Formula One, and when he left, they left. So I just think it's a corporate deal. The hard thing is, though, they've got 150 employees at Red Bull, and if that team goes under, where did they go? And that's a big issue. So Jay's teleconference was very interesting. He says they can, if they can get some sponsorship together in the next 30 to 45 days, they can go forward. The other scenario, which is interesting, which has been poo-pooed at the moment, was that he kind of put Mark Martin in a position to go back to Hendrick under, what was that, his second retirement of Mark's?
I've lost count.
Yeah. And so they're very close. And, I mean, there's a lot of star power there. Question is, is there any money out there? Another possibility is some kind of connection with Hendrick, which would, again, get around that four-car cap in NASCAR. So, I don't know, there's a lot of possibilities. I think my best guess is that, they're definitely out of the ownership game. They might hang around, you know, help Jay out for a year or two, possibly. You know, not huge money, but every little bit helps. So that's my best guess on the Red Bull situation.
And also, speaking of NASCAR, Kurt Busch, suddenly he is red hot. His car every week has been strong. He dominated at Infineon Raceway, where you were last weekend. There were some tempers along the way during the race. We always expect that on a road course. But it looks like Kurt Busch now, he's put him right in the thick of being a contender for the championship.
Sure. You know, not taking away anything from his driving because he was the guy driving, but they made a plan. He and Addington, the crew chief, Steve Addington, and they stayed out of trouble, which was key. We'll get to the trouble later. But they made a plan, and regardless of kind of what else was happening around them, they stuck to the plan, and it worked. So total props to that whole team, and what a turnaround. Three straight poles, now his first road course victory. He's got to be going down to Daytona, you know, with big momentum. He's never won a restricted plate race. It came close 1 year. Yeah, absolutely. Right now, the momentum has gone over to Kurt Busch in the 22.
And what's interesting there, of course, we remember when Kurt Busch had the big flare-up and was criticizing everyone, and then they had a come-to-the-captain meeting down in Mooresville. And ever since that point in time, the NASCAR side has been doing very well. So has Brad Keselowski. I mean, he finished his 10th at Infineon, and he's been coming on strong. He's got to win. He gets top 20 in points. He could get a wild card to get in. Is it time for Roger Penske to have a come-to-Roger meeting on the IndyCar side? They're terrible.
Wow. They have underperformed this year. That's amazing. But let me go back. Just a little, some props to Brad Keselowski. Sat with me for 15 minutes and explained what's the matter with the cars. But getting back, sorry, just, he was very nice.
That's okay. I've known Brad for a long time.
You know, it's you're a Detroit, you're a Michigan guy, Detroit, whatever. He is a Michigan guy, and I thank him and the PR team there. I got to understand what the complaints are. Over on the Penske side, I think the worst blow that happened to them was Power's accident. I guess it was in the pits, and he has to keep close to Dario on the ovals. We know that he's as competitive, if maybe a little ahead of Dario on the street circuits. But these last couple of oval races, although he did have that one win in Texas, that's going to really hurt his championship. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not Lewis Hamilton and saying it's Franchitti's to lose, but I think he got a big boost. Not to mention Mark getting a big boost, but the Penske's, I think, over there, they need to regroup find something.
Yeah, no question. I mean, they were terrible at Indianapolis. That was the worst Indianapolis I could remember, other than when they didn't qualify at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And they're just not contending weekly, and they're having all sorts of problems, which is so uncharacteristic.
Yeah, maybe we can have Elio curse on the radio.
Very quickly, Lewis, what do you expect this weekend at Daytona? I'm headed there, and it's going to be hot at 90-degree temperatures, much different than it was in February, a shorter race. We're going to see, of course, the two-car tandems. But can you put your finger on anybody that might be the favorite?
Well, you know, funny thing, I'll tell you what, I won't go favorite. I'm going to go dark horse. I'm going to take a wild prediction. Maybe go to the fans. I think it's Dale Earnhardt's time to get back in the winner's circle. You know he's a plate racer. He had been getting better with Letarte. Let's throw out, you know, Sonoma. They've been working rather well together. I say this is his shot to break his victory drought, okay? How's that?
Well, it may happen. He's great on restrictor plate races. I remember the nationwide race a year ago that he won at Daytona.
Right.
It could be, and maybe this is the place that turns it around. Well, Lewis, as always, yeah. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with us, and we will see you soon.
You're very welcome.
Our good friend Lewis Frank talking a little Formula One, NASCAR, and IndyCar. Like to thank him, like to thank Trevor Bayne, like to thank John Bennett and Bill Bader Jr. for joining me. Thank you for listening to. Don't forget, you can always listen to the show again or tell your friends about it. The archives are always available at pitpassusa.com, pitpassusa.com. You can also send me an email with any comments or guest suggestions to Larry Henry at pitpassusa.com. That's Larry Henry at pitpassusa.com. You can check it out on Facebook, which is Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. It's very simple. We're also on Twitter, Pit Pass USA. Pretty simple there, too. And we post a lot of comments, and also you can follow a lot of drivers. I want to thank you for listening. We are off to Daytona. Hopefully we'll survive a very hot weekend. And wherever you are, take it a race this weekend, and we will see you next Wednesday night right back here with more of the best in racing on Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Up Motorsports Series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
for this week. Time to get ready for another great week of racing to talk about next time on Pit Pass. Tune in next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for another fast-paced 200-mile-per-hour edition of Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on Power Up, your motorsports channel.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.